The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another episode of our program, The Clear Criterion. In our last session, we discussed the importance of following scripture and opening hearts to the truth, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that those who are stubborn in their rejection of the truth, their state was worse than rocks, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a group among the Israelites were such that they would understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and deliberately change those words for their purpose, for their hidden agenda. Today we will cover what that was, or remind ourselves of what that reason was. And also we will consider some of the points related to the general attitude of the believers and the Jewish community in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Before we continue with the main part of our program, following our routine, I would like to remind everyone of a point of excellence regarding sending blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. But before I mention the point, let us consider how many yearn to be with or recognized by or in the company of those who have acclaim, famous people. They might be famous for whatever reason, but there is this inclination seen in the public to be with those, or seen with those, who are in the limelight, regardless of whether they are people who are pious or people who are upstanding citizens in society. Any reason of fame could put them into the spotlight, and the public would want to be in their company, or share a moment with them, or shake their hand, or take an autograph from them. Whatever it is, fame and acclaim draws people. People are drawn to this celebrity status that some may have. Considering this, without comparison, this is just, these points are only mentioned to create a kind of logical perspective, a reminder of how as human beings, we behave generally in society today. Let us consider, without comparison, let us consider the honor and privilege to share a moment, not with someone who is famous in terms of the materialistic nature of this world, or a claim which may not represent virtue. Let us consider sharing a moment with the best of the best in the time of need, on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, for us to share a moment with the best in creation. Yes, you have guessed, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the leader of all prophets, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under whose flag people will gather, who will initiate intercession on the Day of Judgment, to share a moment with him, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and to have the honor of shaking his blessed hand on that day. Is this honor and privilege not something worth striving for? Let us consider this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam revealed a way we can possibly attain this. If we send blessings upon him 50 times a day, just 50 times. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our action, we develop the right level of sincerity and we attain this reward. What a great reward. And in the most intense moments, or in moments of most need, the Day of Judgment, on that day, to be honored with this moment with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, 50 salawat a day to send blessings upon him 50 times a day. Let us all make the intention that this will be a minimum for us. If we are reciting more, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us with his mercy this reward and a lot more. May Allah accept our good efforts and our good intentions. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. The last point of discussion in terms of the main part of our program was a reminder for the ulama that how their inclination to permissibility will or can lead to the public falling towards or being inclined towards undesirability, meaning the scholars have to, or the scholars should, as per the instruction of the imams of the past, rahimahumullah ta'ala, the ulama must try to increase their level of awareness and precaution and piety simply due to the fact that they are followed. And when they are followed, there is a greater chance for people to fall into deviation if there is an element that is lacking in the etiquette or behavior of a scholarly person. Moving on to the next verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا. And when they meet believers, they say, who? The hypocrites among the Jews. They are being spoken of here. And when they meet the believers, they say, we have embraced faith. وَإِذَا خَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ قَالُوا أَتُحَدِّثُونَهُمْ بِمَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لِيُحَاجُّوكُمْ بِهِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. And when they are alone with one another, they say, do you express before them the knowledge which Allah revealed to you so that they thereby establish a proof against you in the court of your Lord? Do you not have intelligence? Just to clarify the meaning of this verse, the hypocrites among the Jews, when they would meet the believers, they would say that they believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. They would say that your master Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has been mentioned in our scripture. We know of him. His message is true. We believe in the truth of his message, and we believe in the truth of his prophecy. They would support the believers in what they believed. And when they would return to their leaders would rebuke them. And their leaders would say to them, do you not have intelligence? You are acknowledging and you are sharing these facts with the Muslims, and you are saying to them that these points, the truth of their message, their messenger, everything is true. And this establishes a proof against you, meaning they have a proof against you in this world and in the hereafter, that they can say, if you believe that this is true, if you believe our message is the true message, Islam is the truth, if you believe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is the final messenger, why do you not believe in him? If this is in your scripture, why do you not believe in him? So the leaders would say to these hypocrites, do you not have intelligence? You have given them the very thing that they need to establish a proof against you. The obvious thing here is, both of them know, the hypocrites know and their leaders know, that is, the Islam is the truth. And the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is a message of truth. But yet they are stubborn in their rejection. And one group is rebuking or reprimanding the other group for acknowledging the truth of Islam as stated in their very own scripture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. Do they not know that Allah knows what they conceal and what they reveal? So these hypocrites going to the believers and acknowledging the truth of Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then in their privacy and secrecy going back to their leaders, and their leaders reprimanding them in secret, These matters are known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they have revealed to the believers and what they conceal from the believers. All these matters are known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. And within them there are some illiterate people who have no knowledge of the book except reading from memory or something fabricated, and they only speculate. This is an indication or a mention of the second group among the Jewish community. So there was a scholarly group who knew the truth and changed the scripture. And now this second group is mentioned. They are illiterate. They are dependent upon the teaching of the knowledgeable people among them. But they are very stern and are very set in their way of rejecting the truth. And they show this aggressiveness and they show this dismissive nature towards the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that this second group existed. Despite their illiteracy, they believed in anything that their leaders or people of knowledge revealed to them. The next verse is a very powerful verse about changing the scripture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لِيَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. So destruction is for those who write the book with their hands, then claim, this is from Allah, to attain a trivial sum in exchange. فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ. So devastation is for them due to what they wrote with their hands, and devastation is for them due to what they earn. This verse is in particular about those scholarly people amongst the Jewish community in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam who were changing the scripture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there is destruction for them. Why? Because they are changing the very word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example of this that is mentioned by the Mufassirun, or let us mention the reason why they did this. The main reason, or one of the main reasons cited by the Mufassirun and the scholars of Sirah, is that the knowledgeable people among that community, they knew that they had the power and privilege, and they had that social standing. So just imagine, the masses are illiterate or very limited in their knowledge. For guidance, they would seek this guidance from these scholarly people in their community, and they were well looked after. It is a natural thing that when someone possesses the most valuable thing, one who is a representative of faith, people who hold faith more dear to than their very own lives, would obviously look after, respect, revere the people who represent and teach that faith. And in turn, they would show their generosity towards these scholarly people, giving them gifts. These people would be the focus of attention. They would be, they were the pinnacle of that community. On the hierarchy, the social hierarchy, these scholars were right at the top. Now, with the arrival of the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, all that social structure would change. Now, they would all be equal, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam would be the revered one. It would be his message only, his instruction only. It will be, he would delegate sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He would explain the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all that power and influence and wealth that they had accumulated over the years, and they had increased over in time, all that would come to an end in their eyes. They could have thought of this in a different way, and they could have thought that if they are scholars in their tradition, when they come into, when they follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as stated by their very own scripture, they would increase in honor and respect. for they were scholars in their previous tradition, they would become scholars in the final tradition, in the final message of the Quran. But they didn't think like that. They were worried about what they would lose. And greed is something which will push people to do things that are unimaginable. In this case, one example that is given by the Mufassirun, the very description of the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the Torah, they changed that description. In the Torah, originally it mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ was a beautiful individual of medium stature and kohl-lined, beautiful eyes, dark eyes. The Prophet ﷺ was given a specific and accurate description of him in the Torah. But they changed that to him, to the description being of a man who's overly tall, towering kind of figure, disheveled hair, blue eyes, things like this. And the reason being that they would not make that connection with the description mentioned in this scripture and the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This was one example of the fabrications or distortions which had taken place in scripture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses destruction for those hands that changed these words of the scripture. Destruction for those hands, for they did so for trivial wealth, wealth which has no value in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was a very powerful reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very next verse mentions a claim of the Jews and an answer or a point related to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. And they said, the fire will never touch us except for a few specified days. قُلْ أَتَّخَذْتُمْ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَهْدًا فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ أَهْدَهُ أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. O beloved Prophet, say, have you made a covenant with Allah? If this is true, so Allah will never break His covenant. Rather, you are relating about Allah what you do not know. So this claim was that the Israelites, according to a narration reported by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that the Jews claimed that they would not go into the fire except for a number of days. According to some Mufassirun, it was the time period spent by their forefathers worshipping the calf, an account which we mentioned previously. So some say this was a period of 40 days, some say it was a week. Anyway, the Jews claimed that if they were to be punished in the fire, they would only be punished for these specific days, 40 days or a week, because of what their forefathers had committed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this verse that they should be asked, did Allah promise them this? Was this a promise they received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Obviously it was not, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go against His word. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise them something which of such a nature? A deed done by their forefathers, and that becomes the punishment or the set time period for all descendants of that nation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not promise anything like this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that no such promise was expressed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about a specific restricted kind of punishment. The law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clear, and He expresses this law or reminds the believers and the disbelievers of that time of this particular law of His in the verse which follows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, certainly whosoever earned sin and his sin surrounded him, then it is they who are the people of the fire. They will remain therein forever. I repeat that part. Allah says they will remain therein forever. Which people? The people who incurred sin and this sin overcame them. The Mufassirun mentioned this is a reference to disbelief. Those who sinned and erred and then ultimately disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not going to be punished for a set time period. Their punishment is forever. And with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the believers, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And whosoever embraces faith and performs righteous deeds, it is they who are the inhabitants of paradise. They are to reside therein forever. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his law clear that one who deviates and falls into disbelief, ultimately, he won't go into the fire or she won't go into the fire for a set period of time. It is everlasting for those who disbelieve. This is decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not in any position to be passing judgment on people and how the lives of people will end. We must be concerned about ourselves and worry that our last moments are not affected by the devil in such a way that we, Allah forbid, we become doubtful about our very own faith. Faith is protected and preserved through the blessings of a lifelong struggle to preserve and strengthen it. Some people say or think, I know La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I know what my belief is. And when it's my time, when my time is near, I will remember this. This is not true. When one is very near death, this state, this difficult state is such that it can create elements of doubt. The devil himself makes every effort to whisper and to affect the judgment and perception of an individual. We are given faith through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We leave with faith with His grace subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pray for protection from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a pledge taken from the Israelites. He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And remember when we took a pledge from the children of Israel, you shall not worship anyone except Allah. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانٌ وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. And be kind to your parents and relatives and orphans and the destitute. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. And speak to the people courteously and establish the prayer and give zakat. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. However, you then turned away except a few of you, and you in any case are those who turn away from divine commands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a promise, the Israelites, an oath taken from the Israelites about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else is to be worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the very same and similar points to Islam in terms of the general commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respecting parents or being obedient towards parents, speaking to others with courtesy, being kind to the poor, the orphans, the destitute, establishing the prayer, giving zakat. These are commands that we have in Islam. And the beauty of these commands, that the prayer and giving the poor and being good to others, this is something which has been a part of religious teaching and religious instruction from the time of previous prophets, alayhi wasalam. Parents and being good to parents is something which is fundamental, and among the rights of people, it is one of the highest rights of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive an individual who violates the rights of a parent until the parent forgives that individual. This is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran says that we are not even to say uff to them. This is not taken literally. The principle is understood, that we do not say, do, or behave in a way that creates discomfort for our parents. And we seek supplication from them. When they leave this world, we continue to supplicate for them and to give sadaqah on their behalf so that they attain, their rank is elevated, or their reward is increased, their light is increased in the hereafter. And being kind to people in speech, generally speaking, this falls under the general right of people. We should not be those who cause friction, who create discord in communities. When we see orphans, especially within our family, when we see people who are in need, especially in our families, without them saying anything, we should come forward and help in whatever capacity we can, according to the best of our abilities. And if we can't, we make intention and we make dua. Oh Allah, make it easy for them. If I had the means, Allah, I pray I am granted tawfiq, I am granted ability to help those who are in need. With this, we close today's discussion. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be sincere. May Allah grant us virtue. May Allah grant us steadfastness. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.